Hey, welcome to The List Film Podcast. Yes. What are we talking about today? See how I fake enthusiasm?
Yeah.
If you just say, like, yes, or, like, party, or stuff like that, it seems like you're really excited, but you could have, like, a monotone voice, and it still sounds exciting. Hey! For the new listeners, we are a weekly film podcast. Sorry that I went on that rant before you know who we are. We're a weekly film podcast where we list and discuss film topics. We basically pick a film topic and we list our top five. Actors, films, dogs.
We still have yet to do that.
I know.
I'm waiting, man. I keep teasing it. Fingers crossed.
I already have that list made because I really am waiting for that list.
Your my dog Skip is on that list. We list stuff, and we talk about movies, so...
We live for lists.
Yeah.
Listing.
Yeah. I am Ricardo, one of your hosts.
I'm Adam Scott.
And I'm Kevin.
It's weird not having Jenny here.
It really is.
And not having a guest.
It feels
just
really
the three
weird.
Of us.
There's no womanly presence here, and it just feels like... There's too many cocks on the dance floor, you know?
There's way too much testosterone in here.
Yeah. Because we're all such masculine.
Too manly. Yeah.
Such just epitomes of manhood. And, we'd like to sit in dark rooms.
What are you talking about? We were working on that car before we came up here.
Oh, yeah. And we do all have facial hair.
Yes. Yeah, we do.
We do all have facial hair.
Right now, yeah. Have you guys want to talk about any movies you guys saw in theaters? I feel like we should do at the end of the year. I don't know if we should do it at the end of the year or every podcast, but like new discoveries, like stuff you discovered, you know, like on DVD or, you know, stuff like that.
I feel like either one works.
Yeah.
I mean, at least I'm not, I know you guys, we're always discovering new stuff. So
yeah,
it's not
yeah.
like, I feel like if we wait till the end of the year, we're going to forget something.
Yeah.
No, you're right. Well, any movies you guys want to talk about right now that are in theaters or you discovered?
Well, that we want to talk about or that we just feel obligated
then
you
to
mention
talk about
that we
it.
Saw. Because you saw Resident Evil Retribution. I don't know that I want to talk about it.
How much would you pay to see that?
I'm glad I have MoviePass.
How much?
And I didn't have to pay to see
okay.
it.
Okay. You don't have MoviePass and someone, you know.
If I don't have MoviePass,
okay,
I would have waited for Redbox.
You
I would
have
paid a dollar.
You okay. have a looper thing going.
And you had to go there.
You came and told yourself, hey, don't go see this movie. Don't pay to see this movie. But you can wait for, and then what would you say? DVD?
Yeah,
Netflix?
Yeah, you can wait for DVD, like okay. you did with most of the other ones.
Okay.
I still love the original Resident Evil.
That's a really good movie.
It's not...
That's the only one I've seen. And I don't remember it. I just remember Eric Mabius?
Yeah.
Mabius?
Yes. Mabius.
Kobayashi? I don't know his name.
Kobayashi. Eric Mabius.
Yes.
He's in it. Michelle Rodriguez.
And then the girl from Girl Fight. What's her name?
Michelle Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Duh. And who else is in it? Of course, Mila Jovovich.
Yes. Djokovic.
Djokovic.
Jovovich.
She's related to Yakov Smirnoff. Mila Smirnoff.
Alrighty.
So anything else you guys saw? Kevin? We saw Looper.
We saw Looper, yeah.
You saw Looper the second time.
Mm-hmm.
How much would you pay to see that movie?
I mean, I thought $12.50 was okay.
Yeah.
For it.
Really?
Yeah.
$12.50?
Yeah.
I just told Nate that $6.50 is more than enough to pay to see that movie.
I mean, I have a feeling most of the people listening to this are going to be like, that was fucking awesome. So they're going to be okay with
it. Yeah, I didn't drink the Kool-Aid. I don't get it.
It was
okay.
It was entertaining. It was entertaining.
It had some cool stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got some stuff that you've seen before in like Children of Men and Blade Runner and stuff like that. But they handle it well.
Yeah. I feel like nothing new, but cool stuff. There's some cool, like, I think he's a good director. I just want to see him maybe direct somebody else's script. Just you know, I don't know. I think he has really good talent for like directing. Like he's an amazing talent, and like some of his shots are really cool, and some of the stuff he's doing is amazing. It's just like I want to see something else.
I agree with that. I do want to see something else. I feel like this year has just been kind of a slow year in general.
Yeah,
and maybe the bar is a little bit low, and that's why it's got a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not. Nothing about it is mind-blowing to me. It's an okay sci-fi movie. I don't even call it an action movie. I don't understand all those, oh, it's the best action movie of the year.
No.
It's barely action
yeah.
to me.
Yeah.
If you want to see an action movie, go see The Raid. or Dread even.
Yes.
Or the Avengers.
Well, let's talk about Dread.
Yes.
You saw Dread?
I have
finally
seen Dread. Yes.
Let's talk about Dread. Let's
I thought
on.
We talked about Dread before.
I don't think we... Kevin hadn't talked about it.
I wasn't here, so...
So, first of all, let's talk about... how much would you pay to see Looper?
Looper, I would pay $6.50 to see.
$6.50. Okay. I kept seeing... what's his name? The guy from Raising Hope? What's his name?
Garrett Dillahunt.
I kept wanting him to go, Virginia! It's a kid! The kid from Wonders of Summer! I kept wanting him to talk to Virginia about like the cool things he was doing. They gave me a gun at work. but anyway, so you'd pay $6.50 to see this movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bargain matinee or what? The first showing of the day.
Let's talk about Dread.
Yes.
How bad? It's been like a couple weeks since I've seen it, and it's still in my head. Like, I feel like that movie didn't get enough credit for how badass it is.
It's pretty fucking badass.
It's amazingly badass.
I mean, yeah, it's like just action, but it takes skill to do that. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? To make an entertaining action movie.
Well, it's quick and it's fun and it's visually interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think Carl Urban is an awesome Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
As much as I like Sly, he blows Sylvester Stallone's Judge Dredd out of the water.
Yes.
I am the law.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you have to have, for this type of movie, I mean, having interesting interesting characters with actors doing a great job of making them interesting also helps, because then it just adds to the fun, badass element.
I like Lena Headey.
Headey, yeah.
Headey.
She's Mama. Headey.
Yeah, I had been saying it wrong, too. For some reason, I saw an L in there. Also, for a while, I feel like I was mispronouncing Olivia Thirlby's
Thirlby?
Name.
Yeah.
I think I was putting the L in the wrong spot.
Yeah.
Oh, you're probably saying Thirlby?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, instead of Thirlby. Is that even right? I'm just confused now.
Yeah. She's a good-looking girl.
It is Thirlby.
She is.
Yeah.
It's Thirlby, not Thirlby.
Okay.
Thirlby.
Yeah, Thirlby.
All right, well, she's really good in it.
She is.
And Barksdale's good in it.
Yes.
Wood Harris?
Yeah.
Wood Harris.
He's Barksdale, dude.
Okay.
Or Jimi Hendrix. Or Remember the Titans.
Remember the Titans.
Yeah. Left side, wrong side. I really enjoyed this movie. I just loved it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I can't wait to see it again.
I've been writing about it over this last weekend, and I really just writing about it has just made me want to watch it again.
Yeah.
Yes. I wish I would have been inebriated when I saw it.
When it was over, I wanted to watch it again. Like, I could have just sat through. I could have just watched it roll over again.
Yeah, if I didn't have to go to work, I would have easily watched it.
Because it's just really quick and really fun and dark, and that slow-mo... I was just telling Kevin actually on the way over here that the slow-mo, it seems weird, but I mean, I kind of get, the more I think about it, like it's supposed, like I get how it's supposed to take you out of it, like what they're trying to do with the slow-mo.
Well, also the movie's so fast-paced that the slow-mo works at where it works, because you're like, oh, I get the effect that they're trying to, you know, I get what they're trying to sell me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the surrealism of the slow motion that comes from the drug. It's like, all right, I understand it now. Like it's an escape. And I just, the more and more I think about this movie, the more I like it, and the more I want to watch it again.
Yeah. And again, I can't talk enough about Lena Headey.
Headey.
She's amazing in this movie, and she looks
scary.
Gross.
She's
scary. Her teeth are nasty, and
Just when she like kind of like smiles, she's got the blood in her teeth and pieces of the flesh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's kind of gross. but I liked it. I enjoy this movie a lot. I would definitely pay to see it in 3D. Even though I don't like 3D, that's the only showtime they had, so I had to see it. But I would pay $16, just period.
When I thought the 3D worked.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a fan of 3D at all, but I didn't have an issue with it at all during the movie.
I enjoyed it.
I don't like 3D, but in watching the trailer again and just hearing them talk about the visuals, I am considering going to see it again and seeing it in 3D this time.
You should.
Definitely.
Yeah. Did you see it in 3D, you said?
Yeah.
All right. Any other movies you just saw in theaters?
No.
I feel like there was something else, but I can't. Oh. Ugh. I wish I didn't remember that I saw this movie. I saw House at the End of the Street.
Oh.
And that was just a wretched pile of shit.
So how much would they pay you to see it?
Would they pay me to see it? They would have to give me a free ticket to see Dread again.
Okay.
For me to see.
So if they said, well, there's a double feature, you got to sit through this movie to see Dread again.
I would sit through House at the End of the Street to see Dread again. Right. But yeah, it was bad. Just like a movie written by aliens, where it's like people don't act like this. It's just like it's like everyone is a sociopath. Like not just the killer, but everyone is a sociopath in this movie.
Wow.
Very hard to relate. Just stupid. And on top of all that, it's a PG-13 horror movie. So
yeah,
it's
no.
It's just
yeah,
nothing.
There's
going
no titties
for it.
In it.
No. That, I mean, not even just like it's
not even a good killing.
Yeah, it's like muted violence. It's just, and it's never really scary.
Yeah.
It was very disappointing. And even, like, I knew that it was getting bad reviews. So going in, I had low expectations. And even in spite of my low expectations, it was still shitty.
Oh, wow. That's worse. When you're like, you know, I had low expectations, and then you're like, wow, that was worse. That happened to me when I saw Battleship.
Really?
Yeah, like, I still.
That was even worse than your expectations?
Yeah. Like, I'm like, oh, this is going to be horrible. But then, like, I'm like, wow.
This all right, well,
all right, this
House of the End of the Street, worse than Battleship.
Really? Ooh. You saw Battleship?
I did see Battleship.
Ooh, really?
And I had extremely low expectations for Battleship, and I kind of enjoyed it for how stupid it was. I'm like, all right, this is stupid. I'm expecting, like, a retarded Michael Bay movie. And that's what I got.
Okay.
House of the End of the Street is way worse than that. The best part of House at the End of the Street was seeing the Mama trailer on the big screen.
Yeah. I saw that with Looper. Looks good. What else? Any other movies? Did you guys hear that Seth MacFarlane's hosting the Oscars this year?
I did. That's weird.
I have no problem with it.
I don't have a problem with it. It just
I have a problem that he's dating Khaleesi's.
What?
Yeah. He's dating the girl from Game of Thrones.
Really?
That's
just
weird.
Concerning to me.
I think that's awesome. Good on
I mean, it's awesome that like a nerdy, well played. Nerdy dudes, you know, dating. Yeah. That's cool, but it's just weird to me. Anyway, should we get into the list? What should we get into? Any honorable mentions? Any Netflix stream of the weeks that you want to recommend, you guys?
I guess. Well, so did we mention that we're talking about monster movies?
Yes. Yeah, so, well, it'll be in the title of the episode. But yes, we're talking about monster movies / creatures, okay. Monster creatures.
So I've got two honorable mentions stream of the weeks.
Let's throw them out there.
Chud is on Instant, and so is The Stuff.
Ooh.
Oh.
Which is like a, I mean, it's a, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Larry Cohen movie.
I did, all my list is, newer movies. I didn't do any old movies. I don't think I even cracked, I barely cracked the 80s. But I didn't go that far, just because it was just stuff I remembered off the top of my head, just recent movies. But that's about it. I figured you guys were going to pick old movies. So.
Well, I mean, the problem with this list I found was that I've used a lot of my what would count as monster movies. And then there's this weird overlap where it's like, well, what do you consider a monster movie?
Okay, so let's talk about this. I didn't pick alien movies. No aliens in my list.
Okay. That's where I kind of naturally went to.
There's one
but
that
also
might,
because I already had Alien.
There's one that you might argue is an alien movie, but not really. You can't really. There's no official proof. Yes. Two. I didn't put any vampire movies because that could be creatures, depending how gruesome the vampires are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I didn't put any. So there is a mummy of some sort. That's a monster, right?
Okay. Well, see, here's.
Yeah, it's one of the Universal Monsters.
Yeah, that's where I go back to. Like, for Universal Monsters, you've got Frankenstein, you've got the mummy,
mm-hmm.
you've got
Creature from the
Black Lagoon. You've got Dracula.
The Invisible Man.
And you've got the Invisible Man, which...
Frankenstein?
Even though... Okay, I said Frankenstein's monster. Sorry. Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah.
Frankenstein is the doctor.
Yeah.
But even going by the Universal Monsters, the Invisible Man was never a monster to me.
No.
No. He was the lack of, because he was invisible.
He's just invisible. He's just
He didn't count.
He's just an invisible dude.
He's like a minority. He doesn't count.
Like, I would give you a vampire. Oh, and the Wolfman. I said, did we say Wolfman?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the other thing where I feel like, unless we're going to do a werewolf list, I feel like werewolves count for this one.
Okay. Yeah, I don't see us. I see us doing a vampire list, but not a werewolf list.
Really?
So, yeah.
See, that's weird to me. Because they both could count on this list, too.
I guess so. But so I didn't put any vampires
all I'm
in my
saying
list.
Is, if there's going to be a vampire list, there should probably be a werewolf list.
All right.
At the same time, as I just said that, though, I don't know if I can think of five werewolf movies that I like.
Yeah, see, that's the thing that I can't think of. What I do is for lists, like, I'm like, if I can't think of 20 movies on that list, I won't make a list because, I mean, I won't make a podcast because then we all
Okay, so you can think of 20 vampire movies that would be show up on respective lists for four people. Yeah. All right, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of that for werewolf movies. Yeah. For some reason, it's just...
I can think of two.
It's a disappointing genre.
Yeah, it is.
Like, there's a couple great movies and everything else is just like, oh, I see what you were going for, but...
And it was almost there. There's a lot of, like, almost there for werewolves. Like, oh, that part... I like that part, but not this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like there should be, a quintessential modern werewolf movie. Yeah. Somebody out there, please take it.
There should be.
Yeah.
I have an idea for one.
All right. Well, we'll talk about it post-haste. All right. So, should we get into the list?
Wait, have we been describing the movies we've been recommending on Netflix?
We haven't. Talk about Chud.
Chud is from 1984, and it's about creatures who live underneath, in the sewers beneath New York. And what's cannibalistic humanoid underdwellers is what Chud stands for. And Daniel Stern is in this movie. And let's see, who else? Who's the guy that... Okay, there's a drinking game you can play when you watch Chud. Every time someone says the name Bosch, you have to take a shot. And you will probably be drunk about 15, 20 minutes into the movie.
Wow.
They say Bosch a lot, especially Daniel Stern. He's like, come on, Bosch! Why are you hassling me, Bosch? Like, that's... It's just like, it's a word that just feels... Like, you can use it as a verb or as an adjective... Everyone just says Bosch all the time. Yeah, forget about it. Forget about it, Bosch.
Yeah.
Christopher Curry plays Captain Bosch, and everyone just calls him Bosch, and it's ridiculous. But it's about these people trying to figure out what's going on with these creatures who are living underneath the surface of New York. And then The Stuff is a Larry Cohen movie where it's like Larry Cohen's version of Dawn of the Dead, where he's taking on consumerism, and it's about this alien substance that people are eating, and it seems to be taking over the world. It's like The Blob, except you eat The Blob.
Interesting.
And it's just silly. And I love Michael Moriarty's as David Moe Rutherford. He's like doing a weird sort of Jimmy Stewart impersonate, like a Southern Jimmy Stewart, but he's like the main character of this movie. And in his first scene, he punches a dude out after talking about how he's been spying on them. It's so much fun. Garrett Morris is in it, and Paul Sorvino. It's a weird, like, you look at this cast, you're like, how did Paul Sorvino end up in this movie? And Danny Aiello's in it. It's really weird. It's a bizarre, bizarre movie, but it's fun.
Well, there you go.
I feel like it should have been an honorable mention. Both of these could have been honorable mentions on our previous list that we did, the bad movies we love.
Okay. They're bad movies, but you love it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, should we get into the list, about these movies?
We should talk about this list.
Let's do it. Kevin, why don't you take us?
Okay, I will go first, and I'm gonna bring up like a high mark of quality here. So, my number five is from 2001, and it's Jeepers Creepers.
Did he step on your toes? A little bit,
kind of.
You can put Jeepers Creepers too.
Jeepers Creepers too. Yes, you can do that.
This is another movie that I feel like could have worked on Bad Movies We Love. Because I love it.
Yeah.
But it's cheesy.
It is very cheesy.
But it's so much fun.
It is a lot of fun.
I remember seeing this in theaters with my cousin, and we were getting in trouble because we were laughing so much. Like, people were glaring at us. And then so the next year, or whenever the sequel came out, like, we got to go back. And we did the same thing. We just kept laughing the whole time, and people got mad at us. But it's a fun, funny movie.
It is. And the creepers... Very creepy. He's scary.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched this in college. I was a freshman in college, and the school I went to was out in the middle of nowhere. And so the theater was even further. Like, so they built a college town around it. But the theater itself that I saw it at was literally surrounded by cornfields. And I had to wait for a bus after the movie. And I'm just like, this was probably the stupidest movie to pick when I have to wait at like 9 o'clock at night out at a bus stop that no one's at, which is like one lamp, like lighting the bus stop. And I'm just sitting there going, where the fuck is this bus? Because... As funny as that movie is, it's still kind of creepy, and the fact that there could be a creature out there that just wants to eat you.
But when just ending with that song, you like walk out of the theater with Jeepers Creepers stuck in your head.
Yes. And just that image of Justin Long.
Yeah.
Justin Long, isn't it? Who else is it? Who's the girl in this?
It is, her name is Gina Phillips. She's done a lot of like B-horror movies, like newer B-horror movies. But basically the plot, if you haven't seen it, is a brother and sister driving home from spring break. Happen to take like the scenic route through the cornfields and encounter this creature,
the Jeepers Creeper monster.
The Jeepers Creeper.
And the town, I don't remember, does the town know about it and they just don't care?
No.
There's like a psychic woman.
There's a psychic
who
knows about it.
But the town is completely oblivious to it.
Yeah.
There have just been disappearances.
Lots of missing people.
Crazy yokels. Local yokels. So I remember seeing this movie. It's such a long time ago, but I remember enjoying it. I think because of Justin Long. He's pretty entertaining, dude.
This is
early Justin Long. Yeah. And like right away you can tell like he's really good. I mean he's great now, but like right away from this movie, I'm like this kid's good.
Yeah, there's definitely something there.
He's charming. All right. Did you like part two, the sequel?
Definitely funnier.
Jeepers Creepers 2, the beginning?
I don't think it's called the beginning. I think it's just Jeepers Creepers 2.
Well, I decided to.
And I do know on IMDb there is listed a Jeepers Creepers 3, so I know Victor Sella wants to make.
I got my fingers crossed.
I want the trilogy to be finished.
Did he direct part 2?
Yeah.
Yeah, he directed both of them.
Yeah, isn't he like a pedophile?
Yes. A little bit.
Yeah, he's a little bit, yes.
He's dabbled in it.
He's dabbled.
Not Justin Long, but Victor Sella.
Victor Sella, yeah. And this is a movie produced by Francis Ford Coppola's production company.
Really?
Yeah.
Zoetrope. Wow. Very interesting. I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Adam?
All right. So I'm just going to be organizing my list because I want to talk about other movies. So I'm going to go with 2005. This is a Project Greenlight winner.
Uh-oh.
Oh, nice. Nice.
I never saw this.
Oh, my gosh. It's like if I had the benefit. So I did preface this by saying that it was a Project Greenlight winner. But I just rented it willy-nilly, not remembering that.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't know what this is, but I'm going to rent it. And I loved it. And then after the fact, I'm like, oh, shit, this did win Project Greenlight.
Yeah.
So don't let the Project Greenlight aspect of it
that
deter you.
That deterred me for a while from watching because I was like, I remember watching them, like the making of it, and I was kind of intrigued.
I just remember all the shit and like dealing with the director because like one of his major points of contention with the producers is he wanted to put his father in it.
Yeah.
And his dad's great. He's just this weird, crazy old man who plays the bartender. And it's just a fun, gory, messy movie. And Jason Mewes is in it as himself.
Really?
Yeah.
That's very crazy.
It's like, okay, so these people are stuck in a bar and a guy randomly bursts in and tells them that he's there to save them from this unknown threat. And then shit just hits the fan. People start dying. Fucked up shit happens. It's bloody, messy, gory. It involves a monster fucking a deer's head. It's great.
I don't even know what to say about that. I don't know. My head doesn't know how to react to that.
Exactly. It's just a mind fuck of a movie.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun.
Really messy. Henry Rollins is in it.
It's a good family film.
It's a good family film for definitely. The whole family. Just sit them down there.
Watch them fuck a deer.
Explain taxidermy and bestiality. And I don't know, field dressing, I guess. And the family, they'll just be right there with you.
Mm.
Henry Rollins is great. Jason Mewes is hilarious for the brief moments he's in it. Balthazar Getty,
yep.
Great. Let's see. Navi Rawat. This small cast that are just stuck in this bar, they're all really great. It's fun. I haven't seen any of the sequels. And yes, it did. It was a Project Greenlight movie. And yes, there were constant people complaining about John Gulager during this season of Project Greenlight. But he made a fun, fun movie.
Hmm.
And I watched it 2 times in a row when I first rented it.
In the same night?
Yeah, like I watched it and my roommate came home and was like, dude, you got to watch this movie. And I put it on again.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good... For you to watch it back to back, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. It's just fun. And it's a pretty quick movie.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Like shit just it hits the ground running and it goes from there.
All right.
And these monsters are weird. Like just the character design or the creature design of these monsters is very like they have like these outer shells and then they take off the outer shells and there's this weird gooey center to them. It's a good horror movie.
Is it one creature or various creatures?
There's a group of them.
Okay. And yours was one creature, right, Kevin?
Yes.
Okay. All right. For my number five, I picked a movie from 1987, a movie I used to watch when I was a kid, and it is called The Monster Squad.
Yes.
It's a movie written by Shane Black of Iron Man 3 fame. It's not yet come out, but
he's famous for it already.
He's famous for it already. No, he directed it and wrote Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. He wrote Lethal Weapon, and this is like, it's like a kid-friendly monster movie. Mm-hmm. And it's fun. I loved it as a kid. Basically, there's this curse, and all the Universal monsters come back in one movie to take, well, Dracula's trying to take over the world, like mm-hmm. rule the world. And all these Universal monsters come back, like the Frankenstein, all of them, the Wolfman, and they're helping Dracula. And then these like group of misfit kids have to stop them, and hilarity ensues.
And well, Tom Noonan plays Frankenstein's monster. Yes, and
he's great as Frankenstein.
Tom Noonan's Frankenstein. There's a lot of cool people that are in this. One of the detectives is Stan Shaw. And the kid from The Wonder Years is in it as well. Jason Hervey, the older brother. What's his name? Not Kevin's older brother.
Oh, yeah. I can't think of his name.
His name is Jason Hervey, but I can't remember his name in the show.
Damn it. In The Wonder Years?
Yeah, what's his name? Kevin Arnold's older brother. Stan?
No, it's not Stan.
Someone's yelling at their iPod. It's this. But there's a lot of cool people in it. Van Helsing.
I want to say like Gary or something like that.
Yeah. Nacho? No.
Wayne.
Wayne. That's what it is. Wayne. Yeah. Wayne is in this. The dude who plays Wayne in The Wonder Years.
John Grise is the Wolfman.
Yes.
He's awesome.
Like one of the saddest portrayals of the Wolfman. It's like, dude, he is just a downer.
Yeah.
But he's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's a fun, and I would say this is only probably kid-friendly movie that's going to be on this list. And it's just fun, and it's now it's like an 80s classic. So,
and I mean, it's PG-13. Yeah, so
it is. And the kids are great. I mean, some of the lines that they have throughout the movie are awesome.
There's a greaser kid like kind of smokes, but he's a kid.
And checks out the one guy's sister while she's like in her bedroom.
I think that's the only reason he joins the monster squad.
That is the only reason.
Yeah. Because of the girl.
Yeah.
So check it out. It's just this fun, like cool. Like, it's kind of like Goonies meets Universal Monsters.
Yep.
But the kids aren't as good as the Goonies kids. I feel like if the Goonies kids were in this, this would have been a masterpiece.
I feel like their language is a little bit racier than the kids in the Goonies.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're a little bit older, like maybe a couple years older. So they're toying with swearing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they're talking about like virginity.
Oh, and then stuff. This is the movie that does prove that the Wolfman has got nards.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Wolfman's got nards.
Yeah. So check it out. The Monster Squad, written by Shane Black. I always like that fact that it was written by Shane Black. Yeah,
he was a co-writer on it, though, wasn't he? There's another writer.
Fred Decker.
Well, the director. From what I've read, Shane Black wrote the script that it was commissioned script, but then the director came in and kind of tweaked it a little bit, and he got.
I thought because they were friends. I thought they kind of worked.
They might have, yeah. But I know he worked on it first. The old Shane Black. So that is my number 5, The Monster Squad.
Nice. Okay, my number 4 is the only classic movie that I have on my list, and it's from 1954, and it's Them. I didn't see this movie until like 3 years ago, and I went, this movie's just it's just a lot of fun, and it's great. And yes, you could look at the ants and go, okay, they look fake, but the way that the story is told, I mean, they build up suspense and they do creep you out. And the sound that the ants use to communicate is a very creepy sound. And if I were to hear that sound, if I were walking along, I'd be like, I need to get to my fucking car right now.
Before these giant ants get
me. I mean, they could probably get you in your car.
They could, but I feel safe.
Okay.
It's just a psychological thing. I would feel safe.
I gotcha.
It's like a kid hiding under his blanket. They're going to get you.
Oh, yeah. They can't get you through the blanket.
No,
the blanket, you're safe.
Oh, okay.
That's just a rule. Everyone knows that one.
Every monster abides by it. It's like the Geneva Convention.
Yeah, if you're under the blanket, that's time out. They cannot get you.
Okay, well,
They'll just wait for you to go to the bathroom.
Looking at the trailer for Mama, I don't think she abides that rule, because I could swear in the trailer it looks like she's getting at Jessica Chastain while she's underneath the covers of their blanket.
She could just be scaring her from beneath the bed.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But not killing her. There's no killing on the bed. It's a rule. Okay?
Unless you're Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
Well, he was dreaming, so he wasn't really on his bed as much as he was in his dreams.
Okay.
That's a total mindfuck there.
Oh, semantics.
Semantics there.
The Semantics of
Horror
Movies.
It's a weird loophole.
Our new podcast, The Semantics of Horror Movies.
See, there's loopholes there. Freddy knows loopholes, and he can get around that. But, you know, not a lot of people can.
That's so true.
All right. So then this is just, this is more than one monster or creature.
Well, yes, it's a bunch of, so the basic premise of the film is some cops are investigating some disappearances and discover there's irradiated giant ants that are killing people. And I mean, as soon as they find out, then it's like the government tries to get involved and you got to destroy these ants. But of course, the government can be stupid sometimes and they don't really know how to handle it. And there's a scientist who understands ants and knows everything about ants and is trying to get them to do this correctly because there's queens. And if the queen gets out, then there's a whole new colony that can start. But, you know, they don't listen. Obviously, we don't listen to the scientists. We just want to blow things up.
Well, we do love to blow things up. I do, yes, too. All right, what year is it from again?
1954. And if anybody has seen Shawshank Redemption, it has James Whitmore in it as one of the cops.
Awesome actor. Love that guy. Adam?
Okay, so for my number four, I'm going with 1988's The Blob.
Yes, I wanted to put it on here. I was like, is someone going to do it? I really wish I should put it on my list, so thank you for putting it on here.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
So for people who haven't seen it, give us the premise and whether it's one or many creatures.
Okay, well, the blob is one creature.
Yes.
I mean, let's go with the short, simple IMDb synopsis. A strange life form consumes everything in its path as it grows and grows. That's really all you need to know.
That is really all you need to know about it.
I mean,
you did the original or the...
The 88.
The 88, okay.
The Frank
original,
Darabont.
Yeah, the Frank Darabont one. The original, the Steve McQueen starring one is... I mean, it's entertaining, but never really scary to me. This one, pretty scary from as soon as the blob lands. So, like, something falls from the sky, and a bum, being a crazy drunk wino bum that he is, decides to poke it with a stick, which you don't do. You just don't do that. Something falls from space. You don't poke it with a stick.
I walk in the opposite direction.
And like this pink slime consumes him and then just heads towards the town and starts killing everything in its path.
Like blobs do.
Like blobs do. I mean, it's a blob. What do you want it to do? That's what it does.
It's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
I feel. Yeah.
Shawnee Smith is in this. Kevin Dillon. One
He's
of the
Shawnee awesome. Smith is in this? Yeah. Shawnee Smith.
Yeah. With She's big the, 80s hair. She's yep. the... I would say the final girl, but I mean, she's not the only survivor. If this were a slasher movie, she would be considered the final girl.
The girl from Saw?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's
Wow.
She was born in 1970.
That's very interesting. Because, I mean, now she still looks really young because she's in the new Charlie Sheen show, Anger Management. She plays his
wife. Oh, yeah, yeah.
She still looks really, really young. Mm-hmm. And I can't believe
I don't think she ages.
No.
I feel like when they were working with the blob, like something happened with her and she just kind of melted with her.
Yeah.
And so she just consumes people on set when no one's looking.
She consumes
souls.
And
so she stays young.
Yeah.
She's kind of like the creeper.
Shang Tsung. Yes, like the creeper.
She
consumes something and grows it back, it anew. That's why her hair changes so much.
Yep.
It's not, she doesn't style it. She just consumes someone else's hairdo and it comes out different.
That's crazy. I don't know if she's in this. This is mind-boggling.
Yes,
mind-boggling.
She's in this. Kevin Dillon is in this.
He's awesome in it.
Yeah, he's the cool badass in the leather jacket who drives a motorcycle.
Exactly.
Who takes over lead actor duties. Like, it starts off seeming like it's going to be a different guy, and then that guy dies, and it's like, oh, yeah, no, Kevin Dillon's the hero of this movie.
Yep.
But then, spoiler alert, he's not. Shawnee Smith saves the day.
Yep.
Well, she's Shawnee Smith.
So. Yeah. She doesn't age.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. It's way gorier than the original, obviously, because it's the 80s and it's Frank Darabont. But, like, the blob is just... It's, like, basically, it's an acidic jello mold.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once it gets you, it just, like, dissolves you slowly.
It's like alien blood from Aliens.
Kinda.
But blobbier.
Definitely blobbier,
yeah.
It's like bloated alien blood.
Yeah. It's like they threw, like a handful of, like, flour to make it thicken it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Or it's like coagulant in it, like in Blade, when Stephen Dorff injects himself on accident,
yes.
And he gets all bubbly.
Yeah,
it's like that. Again, the semantics of horror.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun. You should check it out. It's cheesy 80s goodness.
It's Frank Darabont.
So good,
and it's Frank Darabont.
Yes, that's all. Enough said.
And this isn't a bad movie. I love it. It's a good movie.
It's a really good movie.
From number four, I picked a movie from 1990. And that is Tremors.
You son of a bitch. That's my number one.
Really? Tremors?
Yes. I love that movie.
I love Tremors. I love Tremors. I'm not going to lie to you guys.
It was my number two.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, see, this isn't another movie I always... Because you never know where they come from. They could be prehistoric. And like, because even like Fred Ward and Kevin Bacon are arguing like they come from
like
space.
Whether they're aliens or they're always been there.
They were like prehistoric. They predate like dinosaurs and stuff.
Well, yeah. I only made it so far in the sequel, so I don't know that they ever answer that question.
Yeah, I don't know either.
But as far as I was aware, I always thought they were just prehistoric.
That's what I thought.
And look, I've seen the sequels, but I like to think they don't exist because I
like two.
Two's not bad, but then they have the flying ones.
Yeah.
And two.
No, that's three.
There's three. Yeah, three is the flying ones.
Two is the little ones.
Yes.
Two is the ones that can walk.
Oh, okay. I don't like those either.
Well, yeah, it's not as... nothing beats the original.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's also...
You don't have Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, you don't have Kevin Bacon and Fred Ward together. Yeah.
Yes.
Kevin Bacon is like bacon. He's addicting, you know? And he's in this, and I just want more bacon, you know?
I gotcha.
This movie's really, really cool. Again, Wayne from The Wonder Years is in this.
Mm-hmm.
Weird theme.
He is.
Yeah.
He plays the kid.
He's the kid with the basketball who gets on their nerves.
Yeah. And then
who has to hang out on the shed.
Yeah. He plays a trick on them when they cut off one of the tentacles.
Yeah.
That's him?
Yeah, it's him. Yes.
He's really, really young.
He's also in the sequel, too. He's like grown up and he's like a millionaire. And like,
that's right.
He's kind of a jerk.
I just remember Victor Wong.
Yes.
Yeah. Graboids.
This movie's really—it's so fun. Just the way like they introduce them with like that couple and how it like sucks in the car.
That scene is so freaking scary when you're just in the car and it's getting pulled under.
Yeah, and when I was a kid, I used to play Tremors. Like you can't really step on dirt. You can step on concrete because it's harder to get for them to get through concrete. But and then like sometimes when you'd be on vacation in the desert or something like driving somewhere, you'd be like, oh man, this is prime Tremor territory. We should get the fuck out of here. Well, I wouldn't say fuck, you know, because my dad would be driving. But I'd be like, we should get the H out of here, Dad. Because this is prime Tremor territory here. What else do you love about this movie?
I mean, well, Michael Gross and Reba McEntire's characters as the gun nuts, survivalist gun nuts, are fantastic. And I think it's probably Reba's best performance in anything.
We should do a list of like...
Hold on, I'm sorry, but that is not the kid from The Wonder Years. That is Robert Jane. That's someone totally different.
Oh, wow. They look very similar, though.
It's not him?
No, it's not the kid from The Wonder Years.
Really?
Yes.
I could have sworn it is, dude. Nope.
They look a lot. If you look at them when they're both young, they look very similar.
Wow. I'm totally blown away. I don't. My world is shattered. I always thought it was a kid from The Wonder Years.
Yeah, I know. That kid from The Wonder Years is in Frankenweenie, though. The original Frankenweenie.
Is he?
Yeah. Wow. He's one of the friends.
So Tremors. What else, Adam? What else do you want to? I was gonna say we should have a list of gun nuts.
Of gun nuts. And, gun nuts. Favorite gun nuts.
And Rumsfeld from the Burbs.
Yes.
I don't know who I like more, Gross or
I think I would have to go Michael Gross, but Bruce Dern is.
Bruce Dern's pretty badass.
He is pretty fun.
Yeah.
But Tremors, fun movie, and the way they first discover how to kill one of them when they jump over that canal.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's fun and it's legitimately scary.
Yeah.
I mean, at least the first time.
Yeah.
I remember they showed it on USA all the time.
Yes. Yep.
And even my dad loved it. Whenever Tremors was on, we would just watch Tremors.
No matter where it's at, you have to sit and watch it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, you're like, oh, it's
Tremors. It's like, oh, hey. And I feel like 80% of the time, they were revolting from rock to rock.
Yeah.
That's where you would come in. Yeah. Like, oh, yep. Gotta watch it.
Yeah.
I know what's coming next.
Yeah.
We already said Victor Wong was great, right?
Victor Wong, yeah.
I feel like I've always, as a kid, I always saw it from the vault, Paul vaulting on. And then not until I got older, it was like, oh, the end beginning is so fun. Like, wow, I didn't know.
Yeah, that. When you're like, let's get out of town.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it took me a while before I actually saw anything about like the stuff with the construction workers or the whole subplot where they think a killer's on the loose.
Yes.
Yes.
At the same time, though, I do remember seeing the bit with the car getting sucked into the ground. So it's weird. Like, maybe I would just kind of fade out for a sec. I don't know.
You know what was really creepy? The dude that was working on the power lines. And then he died.
Oh, he's not. No, he was
hiding. He went up there.
Yeah, he went up there
to get away from him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But he, like died up there.
Yeah, he dies up there. That is creepy.
That was really creepy. I remember thinking, like, man, that would be horrible because you couldn't get down. Like, how would you get home? Like, that sucks. Balls.
Yeah.
Just dehydrate up there.
It was, yep, like, that's a terrible way to die.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, Bacon's in this. Yeah, I remember thinking the girl was really attractive. The girl in this, the main.
When I was younger Finn and Carter. Watched this, she was
researching like seismographic activity or something mm-hmm. in the area. And at one point, remember she gets caught in the barbed wire and they have to take off her pants.
Yep.
I'm like, yeah,
obligatory.
Yeah, you have to.
One of the things when I was a kid, though, one of the things that always just messed with me was the way that the tremor is depicted on the cover versus the way it is in the movie. It's like, that is not what it looks like at all.
It's not.
It's like, it's got teeth on the cover and then it doesn't.
It's got like a beak.
Yeah, it's got like a beak and weird tentacle thingamajigs. It's very strange.
Which are so creepy. It's just the way they move.
Yeah, and like how it doesn't have eyes and it just, mm-hmm. it's like a seismograph machine. Mm-hmm. It's very cool. Very interesting, like the way how they went about like the physics of the tremor, you know, like how mm-hmm. it doesn't have eyes. And mm-hmm. It was really cool, and like it makes sense. Like it's like a worm, kind of. It doesn't have eyes; it just senses. So very well done, and I'm glad it's on all our list. I thought I was the only one that was a tremor.
Oh, yeah, no, this was the first movie that I knew for sure was going to be on this.
Yes,
list.
As soon as you said monsters, I was like, that's my number one right there. I know exactly what I'm doing.
Tremors. All right. Well, what is your number four, Kevin?
Well, I already did my number four, so I'm on my number three now.
I was the last one to go.
My number three is from 2006, and it's The Host.
I never saw that.
See, I kind of had a feeling that you were going to go with this one.
Okay.
So I didn't put it on my list.
This is a Korean movie, right?
Yes.
An awesome.
You've never seen The Host?
Oh,
never
it's seen so...
it. It's good.
How did I not... When I saw that this is about the ArcLight, and I think I saw it a bunch of times at the ArcLight. How did I not get you to go with me?
Oh, you're probably mad at me at the time.
Yes. <that's, laughs> I was like, fuck Ricardo. He doesn't get to enjoy this. But no, this is such a good monster film / like family drama. It's funny. It's dark. It's creepy. It's scary.
It's a lot darker than I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, I saw the trailer. I knew what was coming, but still, like it got a lot darker than I thought it was going to get.
Oh, it gets. Yeah, it gets. I mean, it's very sad, and it gets very dark. I mean, the message that the director is going for, just broad general message, as well as just like the intimate little stories that he creates in the film, they're really good. And it gets very playful. I love his use of music in the film, because at times it can heighten the scenes, and then it's just very almost like he's creating like a ballet with his images and his music. And then it's just very playful when he puts the certain types of music over certain scenes that are very funny and kind of very playful. But if you would have put something else over it, it'd be like, this isn't a playful scene, but the music just makes it a very playful scene.
Hmm. And that monster is just weird.
It's really weird looking, but very good. Like the orphanage graphics, they did a great job on the film. And there's some really, really cool images that are slow motion with like a person in front and then the creature just running at them.
It blends very well.
It does. It looks really good.
I got to check this out.
You have to check. It's on Netflix.
Ooh.
Watch it. It's good stuff.
The old queue.
Yeah, it's a really good movie, and
this one's been out like a couple of years, right?
2006.
Yeah,
so 6 years. And I mean, like I said, he creates these wonderful characters that are kind of this whole family of almost failures, and how they have to kind of become the heroes.
Yeah, and it's a family of misfits, and they like band together to save the little girl from this monster.
And this is Woo Park, or who is this?
It's the director's name is Jun Ho Bong. He did Mother, was like one of his his last big one. And before this, he did Memories of Murder. I still haven't checked out anything. Every time I watch The Host, I'm like, I need to watch some of his other films. And I have Mother in my Insta queue, but I still haven't gotten around to watching it.
Okay. Now, I'm a little confused right now. Who's doing The Last Stand? Is that the guy who did Old Boy or the Devil movie?
Last Stand? Oh, who was
doing I Saw that? The Devil?
It's not the guy who's doing Old Boy, because he's doing Stoker.
Oh, okay. That's his new Stoker one. Looks good. I thought Stoker looked good. Both those guys are coming to America. The guy who did I Saw the Devil mm-hmm. and the guy who did Old Boy. They're both coming. And I just don't know. One of them is doing Stoker, and then one of them is doing The Last Stand with Arnold, that which is really weird.
That must be the guy who did I Saw the Devil then, who's doing... Yeah.
So yes, I will definitely put this on my list, and it sounds like cool, and then it sounds like a really cool premise, and also the trailer looks really, really good. yeah. with the creature. I have seen some of the footage, the slow motion stuff with the like people running and stuff from like, is it a lake or something?
It's a river.
River, yeah. Yeah. So very cool. Adam?
Alrighty. So I'm not going to lie. I just reordered my license. You already took Tremors. and I'm going to go with one that almost didn't make it on the list. So, I mean, thank you for doing Tremors because I really did want to talk about 1989's Leviathan. Does anyone remember that movie?
I haven't seen this.
Basically, I feel like the way this movie was pitched is it's Alien underwater.
Nice.
Peter Weller is in it, and Ernie Hudson, and Richard Crenna.
Awesome
and,
cast.
And what's your name? The girl with the creepy eyes. Meg Foster.
I did.
Meg Foster is in it. but it's like an underwater deep. And so instead of miners in space, it's deep sea miners. And the corporation sends them to unleash a creature. And then the creature comes on the ship and takes everything over. So it's literally Alien underwater. And as much as I love Alien, it's not on this list because I've mentioned it so many times before. So this is as close as I'm going to get to mentioning to actually having Alien on this list.
I figured,
but it's essentially the same thing.
Alien goes without saying. The yeah. Alien's just badass. Yeah. Period. And it's scary.
Well, we've talked about it a lot.
Yes.
But yeah, it's this weird, and it's, I mean, this movie is not as good as Alien. The creature is not as well made as Alien. But as a kid, it was just creepy and fun enough for me to love. And I mean, Peter Weller, I feel, so this is 89, so this is after RoboCop. So I mean, I was already on the RoboCop and the Buckaroo Banzai bandwagon. That's say that 5 points fast. Buckaroo Banzai bandwagon.
Buckaroo Banzai bandwagon.
There you go. So yeah, it's just fun to watch him kick ass underwater, and like the creature is weird, like just the rules of the creature, the way it like it can absorb people and the way it moves and it morphs into different things. It's really bizarre. If you haven't seen Leviathan, you should check it out. I can't believe you guys haven't seen this. It was on,
I haven't seen it.
It was one of those like USA movies, like Tremors.
What year is this?
This was 89.
I don't know why I haven't seen
it. Maybe I just don't remember it. So yeah. Maybe I did see it, but yeah,
I feel like that, like as I'm getting older, there's a lot of that. Like, oh, I haven't seen the movie. And then I put it on, I'm like, I've seen this movie. This is how it ends. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, yep, that's, I saw this movie.
I feel like I could tell you the ending and you would remember exactly if you've seen this movie.
Well, don't tell us the ending.
I'm not going to.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's...
It's Aliens Underwater.
Aliens Underwater. Or Alien. Alien Underwater. Alien Underwater.
Check it out. I'll check that out.
It's a lot sillier, but it's so much fun.
And it's got...
Peter Weller, Ernie Hudson, and Meg Foster.
Crenna.
Richard Crenna.
God didn't create Rambo. I did. all right. So that was number three?
Yes.
That was Adam's number three.
Yeah. All right. My number three is from 2002. I think I saw this with you, Kevin. This is your second time watching it. My first, Bubba Hotep.
Yes.
I love this. Well, because, A, I love Bruce Campbell. I like Phantasm. What was it called?
Phantasm.
Mm-hmm. And same writer-director.
Yep.
And Bruce Campbell's in it again. That's a double. And Ozzie Davis is in this.
Bruce Campbell doing his version of Elvis, which is genius.
Yeah. Old Elvis.
Old Elvis, yeah.
Yeah. So the premise is it's like an old folks home and Bruce Campbell's there and he claims that he's Elvis. And the reasoning over why he's there and he's Elvis makes sense. Like, I mean, like in his crazy story, yeah. Like it makes very much makes sense. And in the humor, it still makes sense. Like how he happened to get there and stuff like that. And, he's Elvis, but like heightened, you know. Like he's still chasing the ladies. he broke his hip, so he uses a walker. And one of the other people in the retirement home is Ozzie Davis, who claims he's JFK, and they basically painted him that color.
Yeah, there was a conspiracy.
Yeah, it's a conspiracy.
So they not just that they assassinated him, but they painted him black.
Yeah.
And curled his hair. Yeah. And hid him away in an old folks home to get rid of him.
Yeah. So that's funny, and you never question it either. You're like, all right, well, it's JFK.
I just love how he calls him Mr. President.
Yeah, right?
What if he's Mr. President?
Yeah.
Some kind of Bubba Hotep.
And so this like mummy that's being transported on this bus falls off the bus and starts terrorizing this old folk home, and people start dying. And the president, Ozzie Davis, JFK, and Elvis, Bruce Campbell, have to fight the mummy. And it is one of the funniest, coolest, and creepy, too. It's scary at some points. It's just a fun, fun, really awesome movie. Really, it's really impressive, like, what they did with, like, no budget. Like, it's really low-budget movie, but it's fun.
It's one of those movies that I can't believe got made or picked up.
Yeah.
It's, like,
yeah.
Just imagining someone pitching this movie, like, wait, what? You, Elvis yes. is alive.
And Ozzie Davis.
And Ozzie Davis is Black JFK.
Yeah.
And they're fighting a mummy? Yeah. Get the fuck out of my office right now.
Yeah.
And just security, this person needs to be taken out of my office.
This one of the movies where I really... really want a sequel to, and there was supposed to be,
and it was, and for a while Paul Giamatti was attached
as Colonel Parker,
yeah, something like that, and I was like so excited, but then I guess there were creative differences,
yeah,
and it got pushed back.
Even at the end of this credits, it says stay tuned for
Bubba Nosferatu.
Yeah, that would have been fun, like against like vampires.
I think it was against like she vampires.
Yeah, yeah. And this movie is so, so fun. A couple of my favorite lines are when they find the hieroglyphics on the bathroom. And he's Bruce Campbell is all, you mean to tell me this 1,000-year-old mummy came back to write on the shithouse wall?
I love the scene where he gets so excited about getting an erection again.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And the nurse, she's like, oh, she's all creeped out.
I think this is the movie for this episode where I want to go watch it right now.
Yeah, me too. And my other favorite line is when what are those bugs called? The scarabs. Scarabs attacks him, and he's describing it to the director of the old folk home. He's like, well, how big was it? He's like, I don't know. I'm not an ichthyologist. He's like, the size of a peanut butter and banana sandwich. But I'm not an ichthyologist. But it's such a fun movie. Bruce Campbell is amazing in this and is just such a good characterization of an old broken hipped Elvis. So check it out. And Ozzie Davis, like I said, is amazing. And it's funny because even the fight scenes at the end when he has to fight the mummy, they're really funny and really awesome too. Like suspenseful. They could have gone really cheesy, but they're really suspenseful. And you're like, the sound effects are funny. The judo.
Yes.
It's really cool. So check it out. And he does don the Elvis gear with the cape.
Oh, yeah.
Or the jumpsuit.
The jumpsuit. He dons the jumpsuit at one point. So check it out. Bubba Hotep.
And if you watch it and you have the DVD and you haven't checked it out yet, just for a little bit, watch it with the commentary with him as Elvis.
Yeah. Yes.
It's a lot of fun.
And it's funny. This is one of the really fun commentaries. And also... this has nothing to do with this movie, but Tropic Thunder has a commentary with Robert Downey Jr. as his character.
I think Spinal Tap has a commentary with the massive characters also.
Yes, yes. Those are always really fun commentaries. So check that out. All right. What is your number?
My number two. Besides Tremors, another movie that as soon as you told me the topic for this week, I was so excited to put this on here. This is another childhood favorite of mine. That I rewatched and bought recently, but it's from 1986 and it's Critters.
See, is Critters one aliens or not?
They're aliens.
They're aliens. Okay. So, but I mean, they're monsters.
I was gonna put Critters on this, but I just took it off because I'm like, I may use it for aliens. So I don't know. I may not, but who knows?
Are we doing an aliens?
Yeah. We will be.
We did sci-fi, but we didn't do aliens.
We didn't do aliens movie, like aliens, especially aliens attacking. There's so many like. Invasion movies.
Well, I got to reorganize my list right here.
Yeah, So, Critters. Are you talking about Critters 1 or 2?
1,
because I love fucking 2 way better than 1.
No, I love 1 more than 2.
So, give us the premise.
So these creatures called the Krites escape a prison planet, prison in space, and come to Earth to just consume, because that's what they do. They consume and they get bigger. And 2 space bounty hunters are sent to catch them. And they crash in the small, like, farm town in pretty much just a small farming town. That's
where they take the bounty hunters take shape of.
So one of the bounty hunters takes shape of basically the premise of like the idea of like an 80s rock star.
Wait, this is 1? I thought this was part 2.
No, this is 1.
Oh, then this is the one I love. I thought this was part 2.
Wait. The 80s rock star is in this one?
Yeah.
Or no, in the second one, It's the 80s rock star, and then one of them looks like a girl.
Yeah.
And then the second one is where the one who looks like a girl accidentally looks at a sign with Freddy Krueger on and starts to change into Freddy Krueger with the guy from the first one who goes to... Wait, well, spoiler alert. There's a character in the first one who goes to space with the aliens, and he comes back with them in the second one. Or is this the third one? It's all confusing.
That's okay. Yeah, because he doesn't go with them in the first one.
I apologize. This is my favorite one then.
Everyone thinks he's a rock star.
Yes. This movie's awesome. The guns they use are pretty cool.
The guns are great. The critters himself, I mean...
They're creatures.
They're creatures. And it was funny. I showed this to somebody who had never seen it before, and they're like, oh, they're so adorable. And I was like, yeah, they're adorable until they start gnawing on your neck and shooting these poisonous darts in your throat. And then getting, like, big. But it's so much fun. It's got a great cast. Dee Wallace is awesome as the mom. M. Emmett Walsh as the sheriff. You have Billy Zane as he's kind of just like the boyfriend of the sister, who has a pretty interesting fun death.
Who else is in this?
Scott Grimes is the kid.
Oh, okay. I went to search this movie the other day because I was doing research for this topic, and before I got off the whole alien thing. It's interesting how I like to play a game called Where the Internet Takes You or Where YouTube Takes You. So YouTube, I looked up a clip because, see, it was mislabeled. That's why I thought it was two. It said Critters 2, and it was a trailer for one then. And, or maybe it was two, but whatever. But then because I typed in like creature movies, and then all these things came up. So I'm looking through YouTube, and eventually Creatures takes me to like Animal Attacks. Jeez. And then I just found myself watching Animal Attacks for like literally 2 hours.
Wow.
And then like I'm like, oh man, I gotta get off this thing because it's been 2 hours and I'm just watching Animal Attacks.
Nightmares.
Yeah. And well, it wasn't even like the gruesome ones. It was like the funny ones. Like so it's even better because like no one really got severely hurt. And then it went into cats attacking. And like so it was really, really crazy. And yeah. Don't just type in a random word and let the internet.
I feel like that's a fun game to play. Just type in a random word.
It is a fun game if you're if you had a couple beers or something. It's a really
but
fun
back
game.
To Critters. All right, yes. So Critters. I'm still hazy on Critters 2 because I'm 99% sure that the goofy guy from Critters 1 is working with the aliens in Critters 2.
He does, but I don't think he lived.
He hasn't lived with them.
He doesn't leave with them.
It just seemed like they did because like he's in a costume with them. Like he's like working with them.
Well, and in the first one, one of the bounty hunters takes his face.
Okay.
Yeah, they look at him and he morphs. Because there's maybe one of the bounty hunters keeps morphing because he can't find a face that sticks with him, so he constantly morphs throughout the movie.
Right. And that's the one that morphs into a critter? Spoiler alert.
In the first one?
Doesn't one of them morph into a critter?
No.
Like the giant critter, and it turns out to be one of the aliens? Like one of the bounty hunters?
No, and this, though...
That happens in one of these movies. Okay, well, all I know is Leonardo DiCaprio is in Critters 3.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, so if you can make it to Critters 3, you'll enjoy it. And
then you got to
watch. That's the one in the apartment building.
Yeah, and then you got to watch Critters in Space.
yeah.
All right, so where are we?
We're in 2.
And I have to say, because I believe the Chiodo brothers did the makeup for one of the movies, and somebody I was friends with actually got to go to their like factory, and he saw... one of the critters, like, that's awesome.
That's amazing. That's like seeing like the ET costume or something.
Yeah, exactly. I love the scene where they're tearing apart the room and they gnaw on the ET stuffed animal.
So there you go, Critters number 2 for Kevin. Adam.
Okay, well, since we're not, I think we've kind of agreed that we're not actually doing aliens in this list, I'm rearranging momentarily. And this probably wouldn't have been so high on this list if I had done the alien thing at first, but whatever. It's from 2008, and it's called Splinter. Have either of you seen this movie?
No.
I haven't heard about it, but I haven't seen it.
It's Shea Whigham and... Oh, the trailer started playing. Shea Whigham and...
From Boardwalk Empire?
Yes.
Yep.
And Paolo Costanzo and Jill Wagner... and Rachel Kerb. So basically, this couple, played by Paolo Costanzo, and I want to say Rachel Kerbs, but maybe it's Jill Wagner. They're like out in the country hanging out, and they get pulled over by this to this couple who are on the run, played by Shea Whigham and the other girl. And they kind of take them hostage, and they're going to go to Mexico. But then on the way there, they come across this gas station where shit's hit the fan. And there's this weird sort of zombified person attacking them. And it's this weird, like, black tarry substance that shoots splinters out and just kind of takes you over. And it gets it's really interesting and really creepy. And it's very simple, very subtle. But, like, just the way that they play with this idea of this organic matter taking over your body where you're no longer a human. You're just, like, a tool. And so, like, at one point, this body is being slammed against the wall just because it's not being used properly. It's just a tool, a weapon to get in. And it's really disturbing. And, like, someone cuts off their hand, and the hand comes back alive on its own, and because it's got the splinters in it. And it's really fun. I really liked it. Who directed this movie?
And are they aliens, or are they just
Toby Wilkins? No, parasites? It's like a weird parasite that, like, they're driving through. It's like one of those, like, cautionary tales where it's like, oh, they're drilling for too much oil or something, and something comes out of the ground.
Yeah.
And they're, like, in the trees. But it's really interesting. I've never really seen anything like this, where it's this weird sort of organic substance, and it's like attracted by heat, and they're just trying to figure out how it works. And
does it bleed?
Sort of.
Because if it bleeds, we can kill it.
If it bleeds, we can.
We've learned anything.
Well, conveniently, Paul Costanzo's character is like a biologist, like a microbiologist. He's like, oh, hey, well, this happens and this happens. So I think I can figure out, like, oh, it seems to be attracted to heat. So if we cool ourselves down, we'll be okay. But that aside, it's fun and creepy, and I really like it.
I'd check it out.
It was on Netflix at one point. I don't know if it still is.
Splinter.
Yeah.
2008. Is there a sequel?
Not yet. There could be. They set it up so that there could be a sequel.
Well, Splinter.
Shea Whigham is really great. He's basically anything with Shea Whigham, I'm going to watch.
I got to put that on my list now. So, all right. That was your number two?
Yes.
My number two is from 2007. And I had to put a little Thomas Jane in my list. So I put The Mist.
I've used that on another list before, I think. But yeah, seriously, if I went with all my first choices, it's all movies I've used before.
Yeah. And The Mist is again Frank Darabont.
Frank Darabont.
If you're gonna rent this movie, I'd say try to find just buy this movie. If you're gonna just commit to watching this movie, because there is a black and white version of it that is amazingly good. Frank Darabont's vision was to make this movie in black and white. But the studio said no, so he filmed it in color, and then he went back and kind of put in his...
I believe they made him chew. Like, it's like, all right, you can have the ending that you want, but you can't have it in black and white.
Yeah.
But the ending that he wanted and the black and white is as much... Because I saw it in theaters. I saw it on Thanksgiving by myself.
Well, it's a good Thanksgiving movie.
And I loved it.
Yeah.
But then seeing it in black and white, and it's...
Yes.
Exponentially better.
It is.
And I think that's why the creatures, the special effects of the creatures kind of, it gets lost in the color because it's so vivid and it's in color. Where in black and white, there's more places to hide the trickery.
Yeah, it blends in together.
Yeah.
It sells it.
Yes.
And it does add a weird documentary feel.
Yes.
Where it feels like sit-in footage. From the 60s.
Yes, it does.
And it's just a great movie. And you could could argue about what the real monsters are in this movie.
Yes,
that was. Savannah was asking me before making this list, like, whether we can just consider people who are messed up as monsters. I'm like, we could probably argue that point if we wanted to. Yeah. But I feel like we also don't. We want to save those for another movie. Do a psychotics episode or something.
Watching the special features on this DVD, like, it's just like he picked the crew from The Shield because they're really fast, and I guess he had directed an episode of The Shield, and he had worked with the cinematographers on there, so he got a bunch of the guys, the cameraman and cinematographer from The Shield, and really went nuts and kind of they rehearsed it like a play, and then they basically said do whatever you guys want because we'll cover, because he had like two cameras running at all time, and the the cinematographers were so good because of working the shield. I guess they had a method where they knew exactly where they were going to be at. So people could just be everywhere doing anything and they would catch it because they knew not to catch each other. So the two cameramen knew not to, like, where they were at all time. Mm-hmm. So they could really kind of get all the coverage they needed and stuff and not kind of catch each other, you know.
Yeah, I love the moment in the footage, in the behind-the-scenes footage where they're talking with William Sadler and he's like, oh, so you guys can do my clothes? Like, oh, yeah, we got that already.
Yeah.
He got that while I was shooting the wide. We're good.
Yeah.
We can move on. It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. I love the way they shot this movie. I love everything about this movie. It was one of my top movies of the decade.
Yeah. I know Kevin doesn't like the ending because he's a big fan of the novel. Is it a novella? Because it's short.
It's a novella.
Mm-hmm. It's a novella.
So I saw this movie first before I read the novella. So I
did too. And I prefer I like the ending in the movie.
Yeah, me too.
I think it takes away from the theme of the film.
Kevin, fuck you.
Wow, that was just out of left field.
The thing is, I see your argument, but if I had read the novel first, the novella, I would have loved the novel and novella ending. Fuck, I keep saying novel. Same thing. I would be on your side, but since I did see the movie, I fell in love with that ending, and I'm like,
I also think it takes away from the theme of the film.
No, I agree with you.
I feel like part of what I love about, separate from the theme of the film, part of what I love about the ending is the fact that it's there at all. It's like, I can't believe they let him end the movie the way they do. It's like, that's a fucked up ending, and they let you have it.
Yeah.
And if anything, my complaint between the differences between the novella and the story is, I mean, I guess it's kind of a tawdry complaint, but about the relationship between Amanda and David.
Okay.
Where that develops a bit more in the story than it does in the movie.
Yeah.
And I like that development. I feel like that adds more to it, more like kind of ups the stakes, but you don't get their relationship.
You don't get that
in the movie.
Marsha Gay Harden killed this, I feel.
She's terrifying. She's probably scarier than the monsters.
Yes, she was definitely way scarier. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the scariest moment for me, actually, is not just attached to her or the monsters. It's the moment where William Sadler's character is just completely following the fold. Yeah. That's the scariest moment for me.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, shit.
Shit just got real.
That uprising. Oh, yeah. It gets very creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the people are the scariest part of this movie.
Yes. And check it out. It's from 2007, I think I said, right?
Yeah.
The Mist.
Frank Darabont. Good Thanksgiving movie.
And it's
I stand by that.
Frank Darabont doing what he does best.
Adapting Stephen King.
Stephen King stuff. That's all he should do. He's just great at that. Well, I mean, not that he's just not great at other things, because he's responsible for Collateral. Yeah, he's just a great writer, but I feel like he gets Stephen King.
I was going to say he's good at writing Freddy movies.
Yes.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
The Blob. I mean, he's good at writing scary shit.
Yeah, yeah. So that is my number two.
Okay. So recap. Five was Jeepers Creepers. Four of them. Three, The Host. Two, Critters. And my number one was Tremors.
Okay, so my recap. Number five was Feast. Number four was the 1988 version of The Blob. Number three was Leviathan. Number two was Splinter. And my number one is from 2005, a movie we've talked about before, I'm sure, The Descent.
Yeah, we talked about it. And good pick.
Awesome movie. It was on my top five
horror films. I
feel like
we've talked about this one before, but I don't think that I've actually had it on a list.
You haven't?
No, you haven't.
That I recall.
I think other people have talked about it.
But yeah, as many times as we talk about it, I still love it. It's still creepy as hell. Even before we get to the monsters.
Oh, I was going to ask you to describe the movie, but I forgot to describe The Mist. The Mist is a guy goes into the city with his kid and his neighbor. They go to a drugstore and a grocery store, and these monsters just start coming out of the mist. This mist kind of rolls over the town, and these creatures come out. So they're kind of trapped in the grocery store, and hilarity ensues. No. There's people that want to go out. There's people that want to stay. There's people who are religious that start an uprising. It's scary. And so describe your movie now. Sorry.
Okay. So The Descent is about a group of climbers or spelunkers or whatever, divers. I always forget. I feel like they don't. I remember reading something about how they don't like to be called spelunkers anymore, but spelunking is such a fun word to say.
Yes.
So a group of spelunkers go into this cave, an uncharted cave, and get lost and stumble upon an underground race of subterranean creatures who may or may not have been human at one point.
Yes.
And even before we get to the creatures, it's creepy and claustrophobic, and the creatures show up, and shit hits the fan.
Yes.
And it is very scary. And I'm not sure if I've mentioned this part before whenever we mentioned The Descent before, but I do have to give credit to Brian with a Y, because he was the one who kept telling me to see this movie. I'm like, I don't want to see this movie. And I did, and he was right. I loved it. Unlike him, though, I am okay with the theatrical ending.
I'm okay with the theatrical ending, but just having that in the other ending in DVD is like a little extra. Like you're like, oh wow, that's amazing too. Mm-hmm. Like it's kind of like an extended scene that works and works without mm-hmm. it as well. It works just well with it or without it.
I feel like if anything, seeing the sequel made me like the original ending better because that sequel, the sequel is terrible.
The sequel is awful.
Thank God I didn't see it.
Yeah,
I walked away untouched.
You were better for it.
Yeah. So I love this movie, and there's a lot of good actresses. It's a good female-driven movie. Like, just there's no real male leads in this, or male period. In the beginning, there's
male
one male.
Monsters.
Yeah, I guess so. But it's a good. I see that, like, it's just a cool and there's cool villains, mm-hmm. kind of. Some of the girls.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's a lot of complex relationships within the group yes. of heroines yeah. themselves.
And then
this movie, it could have just been the deterioration of these relationships while they're trapped underground.
Yeah.
You don't even need the monsters. And then you throw in the monsters and it just kind of ups the stakes and it makes it a lot scarier. And then adding to the tension of these strained relationships, and they're still strained and kind of developing.
Yeah.
In the midst of this terrible situation, and it's a lot of fun to watch, and it's very tense.
Yes,
very tense.
And really, there's no the women aren't victims here. You know what I mean? Like they're heroes.
Mm-hmm.
They're badass.
Meaning they're badasses. That's what I mean.
I'm not gonna go spelunking, especially after this movie.
No, at all. Yeah. So check that out. Don't check out the sequel. All right, my recap. Number 5, I picked. The Monster Squad, 4 Tremors, 3 Bubba Hotep, 2 The Mist, and my number 1. It could be argued that this could be an alien movie, could not. We don't know. I'm still waiting for my sequel. It's from 2008, Cloverfield. I love this movie. I know Kevin had a little bit of a problem with it, right?
I'm not a fan of the film.
You're not a fan of the film, period.
I enjoyed it. I've only seen it once, but I remember enjoying it more than I thought I would.
I definitely enjoyed it more than I thought I did, because this is a found footage movie. I hate found footage movies for the most part, but I love this movie. It's really well made, and it's not too shaky. That's what I love about it. It's really well produced. I don't think... The thing about this movie is that if they do make a sequel... it's going to be fun if they do a straightforward sequel without found footage, without going with the found mm-hmm. footage mm-hmm. Thing.
That didn't work out so well for Blair Witch Project.
Yeah.
No, it didn't at all.
Yeah, I guess not. But anyway.
That's a silly, silly movie.
It is. And this is such a fun like monster movie. T.J. Miller is kind of behind the camera the whole time, and he brings a lot to that movie, I feel. Like, a lot of warmth for me and humor, like comic relief. Mm-hmm. And... Lizzie Kaplan is in it. Michael Stahl David. Mike Vogel. Odette. How do you say it? Odette Eustman? Is that how you say her last name?
Yes.
But it's written by the dude who co-wrote and directed Cabin in the Woods. Sorry. And it's directed by the guy who directed Let the Right One In.
Let Me In.
Sorry. The American movie. And he also, I think he's a great writer on his own. He co-wrote The Yards as well with James Gray. So it's got a good team behind it. J.J. Abrams produced it. What I like about this movie is that, A, I didn't know anything going in. I like, for as much as I sometimes like hate not knowing about J.J. Abrams projects, that's at the end, that's what I love about them. That you don't get too much spoilers. He only gives you enough to be like, he keeps mystery alive. And that's what I love about him. That you go in and you're like, I don't know what the fuck this movie is about. Because 100,000 people haven't spoiled it for me. You know, it's just. And this was one of them where I had like okay expectations. Like, yeah, it's going to be all right. And it just blew me away. The effects were really well done. Again, like I said, it's found footage, but it's not too shaky. I like all the characters in it. It has enough humor. And it wasn't one of those movies where it's like the one dude figures out how to destroy the monsters. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. just like, hey, these are innocent bystanders.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't Godzilla?
Yes, it wasn't. It was a good Matthew Broderick
exactly, Godzilla.
Exactly. It wasn't. And it was, in its own way, it was kind of a version of Godzilla. It was, you know, it was a creature in Manhattan. And also, what I like about it is that the watching the special features and the commentary, how they studied, like a lot of people were saying, like, oh, if this really happened, people wouldn't be filming. And how they went about doing it is they, like, researched the crap out of, like, 9/11 and, like, why people recorded. Because there's a ton of people recording mm-hmm. that recorded the footage of mm-hmm. that. And that's how they went about it. Like how if there was a natural disaster like that, but with Monster, people would do this because they'd want to document it. And they kind of went into the psychology of why people would do that, mm-hmm. record and
this
stuff.
This is one of the movies. I've been watching a lot of found footage movies recently. And this is one of the movies where there's not really a point where I'm yelling at the screen, why are you still carrying the camera?
Yeah.
Whereas that there is that moment in a lot of the found footage movies that I can only take so much running through a forest lost.
Yeah.
Like with the shaky cam. And this doesn't, I feel there is more direction behind it here, I feel. Like,
yeah.
I understand why he's holding the camera still.
Yeah.
And like, I think there's a point where he even forgets, like, oh, I forgot I even had it because it's such a small camera.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, at least they're addressing the issue of like, why are you still holding the camera?
Yes. Yes. And he even says, like, this is, we have to document this,
yeah.
You know, like, we should. And it you would, like, I don't know if I'd document a fucking ghost, you know what I mean? I'd just be, like, running for my life. But a creature, yeah, I'd be running for my life, but, like, hey, look, this is something we've never seen before. We should document this. And so, yeah, that's why I picked it. And I like everything about it. I like the cinematography, I like... Even though it doesn't have a score, I do like the little piece that Michael Giacchino like wrote for the credits. So that's my number one. Cloverfield.
It's a good pick. It surprised me.
Yeah.
Not your picking of it, but the movie itself.
Yeah. Yeah. Any honorable mentions you guys want to throw out? Something that's not alien movies?
Not alien movies. Well, I feel like I just have to mention everything that would have been on this list hadn't I already not used them. Frankenstein, Alien. Well, again, that is an alien. I mean, The Thing would have been on this list, yes, if we weren't, yeah, doing aliens. The Fly, which, yes, I already used on my, yes, remakes.
I did too.
I
almost used Predator, but it's also an alien.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, Predator 2 would have been.
One I want to throw out there, because I don't know if this is a I assume it's a monster. The Reign of Fire.
Yeah, I saw that one get pop up, but I mean, that's never moved. Like, you know what? I really want to watch Reign of Fire.
I'm going to confess that may be like, I should have had it in the previous list. Bad movies we love. I love this movie.
Yeah, that should have been on your previous
list. Yes, definitely.
Matthew McConaughey's short little arms. And it's got Batman in it. And it's got Gerard Butler as Batman's henchman.
I don't remember that part.
Yeah, Gerard Butler is his, like,
he's
like
the guy,
homo,
he's his lackey,
like,
the one who's like playing Star Wars with him.
Yes,
yes.
Okay. He's a lackey with, like, you know, homoerotic undertones.
I gotcha.
Because it's just, there's not a lot of dude.
I just remember being very disappointed with this movie.
Yeah.
At
it's
the same
not
time,
very
though,
good, but it's fun.
Matthew McConaughey was a bad motherfucker.
Yes.
Like, I did not want to mess with him.
Yeah.
He was very serious.
So was the girl who was a chopper pilot. I really dug her.
Yes.
She was pretty tough. But, yeah, I like crazy Matthew McConaughey, because he was kind of crazy in this.
I feel like Matthew McConaughey just is crazy.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. he's masking it every other time.
Yeah. So, I guess this is a monster movie, right?
Yeah.
Dragons.
Dragons are monsters.
My thing, okay, so I remember in looking at other lists, a lot of people had, like, movies with animals, where I'm like, I figure we could do a When Animals Attack
mm-hmm.
list at some point.
Yeah.
And then
someone had the village on their list, and I was like,
those aren't real monsters.
Yeah, no.
I guess they're human monsters, because, you know, They're tricking people.
Well, that's also just a bad movie. So,
it's funny. I recently rewatched The Village, and you're not a fan of Joaquin Phoenix, but Joaquin Phoenix makes the movie for me. That's the only reason that works for me. It's a crappy movie, but
that sentence makes no sense to me. You're just speaking gibberish.
And there's one shot that really kind of like, I don't know why I love it, a shot, but it's a shot of her. She's putting her hand out, waiting for Joaquin to show up.
That's a good shot.
And then Joaquin,
the monster walks in the background.
No, that's not the shot. But it's Joaquin grabs her hand, closes the door behind them, and it's a slow motion shot of them running. And I don't know why that shot always gets me. I don't know why the hell. It's the simple slow motion shot of Joaquin.
Okay. Slow motion. You just really have a hard on for Joaquin Phoenix.
I just really love Joaquin Phoenix. So
different strokes for different folks.
Yeah, yeah.
I forgot what I was gonna say.
Well, some people had certain Joaquin people, Phoenix. And there, some people had certain movies on the list.
I kept seeing lists with zombies on them. Like, zombies don't count as monsters to
That's
me.
Its own list. No.
Animals don't count as monsters to me. Dinosaurs don't count as monsters to me. I mean, maybe King Kong.
Yeah,
I thought about it. I thought about King Kong for a second,
And then like Godzilla. I would understand Godzilla over a dinosaur, but I'm not a Godzilla fan, so
I'll take the time to. I fucking hate King Kong, the Peter Jackson one.
No, it's all about the classic.
Yeah, the original King Kong.
I love the original classic.
I could totally understand the original King Kong being on a monster's list.
I don't know why the fuck Peter Jackson said I'm going to make a 4-hour movie out of this King Kong movie.
Harvard Why does long. He say he's going to make a 4-hour movie out of any movie he makes?
And
everything's got to be 4 hours long.
Yeah. He's like The Hobbit, I'm three movies.
So it's going to be, but I feel like at this point, so it's going to be like 8 hours long, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, well, he's got to add a lot of walking. He's like, question. I feel like that's what he, like, when he's deciding whether he wants to make a movie, he's like, is there walking in this movie?
All I got to say is, I remember being perfectly happy with the 90-minute long cartoon version of The Hobbit. I don't know why we need two and a half to three-hour long movies of The Hobbit.
Well, there's not enough walking in this movie. That's the problem with what he saw.
I mean, I personally really want to get into the character of Bilbo, and I really want to understand him, and I think that takes at least 2.5-3 hours.
Yeah, but that's it. Not two extra movies.
Not nine.
Well, but I'm...
That you're going to get. You're going to get nine.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, I just want
scenes... That Brian is going to consider one movie.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's for all the other stuff of him interacting. I just really want scenes of him by himself. Really, I just really want to understand what's going on in his head. And that takes at least 3 hours, so that's a third of the 9 hours, and the rest is the actual story.
Yeah. But anyway, King Kong. Do you guys agree with me that movie was just way too fucking long?
Yes.
Yes.
But...
The trailer was perfect. I would have just done it with the trailer.
Naomi Watts fighting. Is awesome in that movie.
She's awesome. Adrian Brody's cool. Jack Black, not too much.
Again, it's not that the movie's bad. It's just too long.
Yes. Yes.
Like, there is such a thing as too much of a good thing, and I don't need it to be that long.
Again, more homoerotic undertones with the captain and Jamie Bell's character.
That was kind of weird.
I don't know what's going on. Why did we need that storyline? We don't. We could have just...
It's just long.
Left them in the boat.
I don't even know. I feel like we're even talking about it too much. Like, yes. We're spending more time talking about something.
We're ruining this podcast right now.
Yeah. It's gotten too long. Any other honorable mentions?
A newer one. I feel like all the monsters crammed up in The Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Van Helsing.
Oh, my gosh.
Van Helsing.
No.
That's, you got to put that on this list.
Have you seen the trailer, the Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters trailer, which is like Van Helsing 2?
Yeah.
That looks so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so neither, not Van Helsing, definitely not. Yeah. Cabin in the Woods has a grip of monsters in it.
Yes.
That's
hard to even put in a category. Because
it's got everything in it.
It's like sci-fi / fantasy / everything.
/ comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a great movie. Any list where I can work it in there somewhere, I'm going to put it on that list, at least in an honorable mention.
Yeah.
The Toxic Avenger.
Yes.
Deep Rising.
Deep Rising.
I love Deep Rising.
That one's with Famke Janssen
and Treat Williams and Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah.
And The Gate.
The Gate.
I love The Gate.
I forgot about The Gate.
Well, because, I mean, again, if we do some like demon-y or devil-y list later on.
That would be a good one for it.
I was really bummed because I would have reused something I used on the last podcast. I would have used Demons again because I love Demons.
But you used it.
I did. I used it on Bad Movies We Love.
Yeah. Oh, man, there's so many. I think we may continue one more episode of this. Like, this was, they didn't have, this had not too many horror movies, but enough. I feel like a lot of these were horror.
I mean, they've got their scares in them.
Yeah, yeah. But we'll continue the series with another one.
Horror movies.
Maybe we'll do a vampire one or something like that. So, a movie about horror horrors.
Horror horrors.
Let me see if I can think. Oh,
I can't think of 20. So, but yeah. So, what else? What else? Follow us on the Facebook or Twitter at the. Sorry, guys.
Lose the "the."
Yeah, lose the. Follow us on Twitter at The Film Podcast. You could follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/ The List Film Podcast. You could follow me on Twitter at Ricardo, ULTRERES.
You can follow me at Ann Adam Scott, AN_AdamScott.
And I'm at KZuberBeer, that's ZUBERBIER.
Yeah. We have an Amazon link on our website. If you're going to buy something off Amazon, just click on our banner. It'll help us. And what's your other, do you want to throw out shooting script?
You can check out reviews and lists. We're going to have some Halloween-themed lists going up for this October, shootingthescript.com. And I'm also writing some lists and reviews for blog.moviepass.com.
So check those two out. Kevin, when are you going to start a blog about like good porno to watch?
About good porn? I'm working, I'm doing my research, doing more extensive research than normal right now.
You're like my 10 years of
Yeah, I really wanted to delve into porn to really just, if I'm going to talk about it in a blog.
That sounds dirty. You should take a shower afterwards if you're going to delve into porn.
I'm usually showering while doing it just so I can constantly say
you want to. You want to go on into the subgenres.
Yes.
Of porn.
Subgenres.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to talk about it, you might as well understand it.
You've got to be really well informed.
So basically, what you're telling us is you're writing the encyclopedia of porn.
Yes.
Okay.
But as a blog.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
That's a fitting place for it to be.
Yeah. So check us out on Facebook, Twitter, you know, rate us on iTunes. Whether it's good or bad, just put a little rating on there. Let us know your list. When we post this on Facebook, if you're on Facebook, give us your top five. When we post this on Twitter, reply to it and just give us your top five, you know, just put your top five. Because not only do we get to discover movies maybe that we haven't seen, but we get to know you.
But we like to talk about movies, so yeah. We'd like to talk about movies with everybody.
And, not just ourselves. And I mean, that's how we find new friends. That's how we discovered Brian Sauer from Rupert Pupkin Speaks.
Yeah. And I mean, I do feel like some people might feel like we think that we know every movie ever.
No.
Not at all.
That's why
I'm always open, especially Brian Sauer is just a font of movie information, movies I've never even heard of. I watched Looker from his Bad Movies We Love list, and that was an interesting step back in time.
I want to watch that Miami one that he has, that he keeps talking about. It's like Miami something. Miami Crackdown or something.
Okay.
I gotta check it out. But no, yeah, like, I mean, seriously, like, we love movies and we like talking about them, but by no means do we know everything, and we like to discover new things or get, you know, I love when like someone like says, oh, we should watch this movie, and I'm like, all right, get around to it, and I'm like, dude, thank you, that was amazingly bad, but in a good way, you know what I mean? I love that. I like bad movies sometimes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
so yeah, put up your list on Facebook or reply to our post on Twitter. And, let us know, suggest topics, you know, that you want to talk about. So, you want us to talk about. So, whatever. Just find us on the internet. We'll talk to you.
On the webs.
Yeah. Yeah.
The interwebs.
We have a lot of time. So, all right, guys. Until next time, have a good week.